So the reading is from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. And I hope someone's going to give some context for this.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for himself to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised.
Now, on Thursday, we were talking about the way forward and where we see ourselves at the moment. And one of the analogies I used was of that of the people of Israel on the edge of the promised land of Joshua coming into to leadership. Now, if you know anything about the people of Israel and their journey from Egypt, you will know that that was not the first time they'd been on the edge of the promised land. What happened the first time?
They wouldn't go in.
They were scared. So they wandered around the desert for 40 years. It was about disobedience. They didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe God could lead them. They didn't believe God would keep his promises. They saw what was there. The 10 spies went in. They saw what was there. But they didn't trust God. But God's promise was still the same, wasn't it? And 40 years later, there they were on the edge of the promised land. The difference being now they had an opportunity to trust him, to obey him, and to do, and to go in to this land that God had promised them. And as leaders, I think that's where we feel we are at the moment. We're on the edge of something exciting. God's given us these opportunities, and that's just one opportunity that he's given us. He's asking us to trust him. He's asking us to obey. He's given us promises. He's given us words over the years, which we haven't really sort of done much with, except for say, oh yeah, well, thank you, that's good. But one of the words that I particularly want us to focus on over the next couple of weeks is the word that Joy brought to us as leaders beginning of the year. And if you were with us on Thursday, you were able to have a précis of that. And I'm really sorry that I don't have copies this morning. I did look to see where they were, but I couldn't find them. But I will make sure they're available for next week if you didn't have a copy. But that word was about barrenness. Barrenness to fruitfulness. And do you know, I was really, really excited after Joy gave me this word. I've been reading through it, and I was, like Frank said, with this project, there was that sort of jump in my spirit. And then a few days later, I was sat at my desk, and that's not an easy thing to do at the moment, because as Keith will bear witness to, my study is a complete and utter mess. I've got lots of Jonathan stuff out of his room. I've got lots of Imogen stuff. And on my desk, I had lots of books from the mum's flat that we were sorting out. So I was sat there by my desk as I was just picking up these books. And the first one I picked up was this one, From Barrenness to Fruitfulness by Frank D'Annunzio. And I had one of those, I just felt cold chills all over. And I just had to read it. And it was just so enlightening. And a lot of what Joy had put in her word were just echoed within this book here. And I feel there's lots for us to learn. And over the next few weeks, I'd like us to look at three of the women in the Bible who had difficulty conceiving. Three very important women in terms of Israel's history. And the first one today would be Sarah. Now, Sarah and Abraham, they waited 39 years to have a baby. Now, Keith and I waited 10 years, and that seemed like a lifetime, but 39 years. God promised them a son, and they had to wait 39 years. You know, the life of faith is built around tests, encounters, and fulfillment. And sometimes there is that waiting, that waiting, that waiting, that waiting. What do we do when we're waiting? Well, the temptation is to give up and think, well, okay, maybe we misheard God. Maybe that wasn't for us. Or even just to get fed up and just walk away. So many times, I'm sure we've done that. But then we can reason our way through what's going on. If we think about Sarah and Abraham, she reasoned that, okay, God had promised that she'd have a son, but it wasn't happening. So maybe she needed to do something about it. Well, the first thing she would have gone through in her mind was that God had prevented her from having children. In Genesis 16, verse 2, it does say that, you know, God had prevented her from having children. Well, she might have thought that was it. That was only partial truth. God had prevented her from having children at the moment because he wanted to give them the son in his time, for his time, for his purposes. And I think with us, so often we can take the promises of God and reason that actually it's not happening now, so therefore it's not happening. And for Sarah, that meant that she then went on to reason other ways of making this promise happen.
Are you
all right? Okay, sorry. So she reasoned in other ways. And she reasoned, firstly, there was the cultural way. In that time, women were shamed if they were barren. So culturally, it was then up to the servant in the household to provide an heir. So that was the cultural way. So she reasoned culturally that that's the way to fulfill God's promise. So Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. But that wasn't God's promise. And then there's the listening to good voices, listening to sound advice. Abraham listened to his wife. So he accepted what she was saying in terms of bringing Hagar in and producing there. But actually, it was God he needed to be listening to. So I think for us, we need to be sure that we're hearing from God. I mean, God has given us so many promises. Individually, he has promised always to be with us. He has promised that we'll never be alone. He has promised that we are redeemed. As a church, there are things that he's promised us. There's words that he's brought us. Right at the very beginning, is it 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles 7, where God says, I will place my name on this place forever. And I really believe that was a promise about God putting his name on his church in this place, his church in Lorne. So when people tell you, oh, Lorne Community Church, oh, that's falling apart, isn't it? No, it's not. God has promised his name will be in this place. And then there's other words that he's brought us, and particularly a few years ago, the word from Haggai about the temple being more glorious than the former. I believe that was a real encouragement for us to get hold of that original promise that he has his name in this place. He hasn't forgotten us, that he has so much for us here. And then to be encouraged yet again about this word of fruitfulness. And there's much more in it than that, and we will be taking it apart over the next few weeks. But he wants us to respond to his promise of fruitfulness. Now, we can do that on individual levels, and we can do that as a fellowship together. God has promised fruitfulness. For Sarah, her bands of barrenness were broken by a visitation of God. Genesis 21 says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken. A visitation from God. That's what we need.
Amen.
We need a visitation from God. We need to be prepared for that. We may miss this visitation if we're not open to accept the Holy Spirit moving in a fresh way. We may miss God's visitation if we're not open because the new way is illogical or, you know, not the normal way of doing things. And we may miss it if we're not moving in fresh truths because of fear. But it's my prayer, and I believe the prayer of others, that we will see this visitation from God. We need to be prayerfully seeking, prayerfully seeking his visitation, prayerfully seeking him. And certainly as a on a Thursday evening, when we come to dwell in his presence, to soak in his presence, these are times to gather when we are deliberately seeking God's presence amongst us. We need that faith attitude that trusts and obeys. When God says something, we need to obey. Not come up with all the excuses why we can't. A part of that faith attitude is understanding that actually whatever happens to us, whether good or bad, God knows about it and God has allowed it. And we need to accept that whatever experiences we're going through or we've gone through, that everything can work together according to God's good purposes. So, to that reading from Hebrews 11. Paul was encouraging the Hebrews, the people he was writing to. He was encouraging them to keep on, not to fall back, not to give up. And that's why he says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realised. What you hope for, and it's not a vain hope that the weather will be fine tomorrow. It's the certain hope of who Jesus is, of what Jesus has done for us, of what he's given us, of what he's called us to be. We will see that hope realised. And it's our prayer that we will hang on to that, that we won't give up. And that's what Paul's saying to his readers here. Show this diligence to the end so that what you hope for will be fully realised. Don't give up. We don't want you to become lazy. And I see that as the laziness in maybe giving up, maybe getting a bit fed up of not seeing what God has promised. Well, we don't want you to be lazy, but we want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We only have to read through our Bible to see people waiting for what has been promised. Abraham and Sarah, 39 years for the promised son. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. And the people of Israel's hope was to enter the promised land, but they couldn't because of unbelief in the first place. So we have that same promise set before us. Let's not follow their example, but let's take hold of God's promises. Let's take hold of God our Father and never let go. Let's keep on keeping on, however uncomfortable or difficult or unusual it may be.